95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. September is Suicide Prevention Month. Many people have been affected by suicide, whether it's someone in their life or an attempt themselves. My guest today attempted suicide in 2006. Fortunately, she was not successful, and she is now a member of the Greater Philadelphia chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Tia Sharp is here with me today to share her story. Hi, Tia.
Hi.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Are you from the area?
I'm originally from northeastern PA, up in the coal region, but I've always wanted to live in Philly.
When did you move here?
I moved here 3 years ago.
Take me through your story. What was your childhood like?
My childhood was sort of rough. I ended up growing up in a single parent family. My father was abusive and then absent. However, that made me super close to my mom. I wouldn't change that part of it. I went to community college. I stopped going in 2007. I was still kind of going through some stuff, trying to figure everything out. I just started up at Arizona State University, and I'm finishing my undergrad this year.
Well, that's wonderful that that's where you are in your life now. Let's go back and talk about what led you to the suicide attempt.
I was definitely having a major depressive episode at the time. There were some things going on, a lot of factors, of course. I had a death in the family of somebody who was very close to me, the stress of coming out as gay in a really small town, just things like that.
And then what led to the day that you attempted suicide?
Like I said, it wasn't just one thing. It was kind of just the weight of all of that finally just taking over at the moment.
A lot of times when people attempt suicide, it's a calling for help.
I think for the most part, yeah. I think it got really overwhelming. But looking back, I know that there was a large part of me and probably the majority that did not want to die.
And you say you were so close to your mom.
She's kind of the one that got me through it for the most part. She made sure that I was seeing a therapist and getting the help I needed. And she was just there and has always been very supportive of me.
And I would imagine, I mean, being a mom myself, looking back, thinking, what could I have done? You know, of course, your mom would want to do anything for you.
It was a tough few years. Luckily, you know, we came out on the other side of this, and she's been an advocate for AFSP as well. She's been doing the walks with me. She's been extremely supportive.
Sure. Yeah. We had a family member who killed himself 4 years ago, and it still affects the family today. You know, he was successful, and it's such a shame because he was such a good man, such a good person,
right?
And everybody in his life wishes he was here today.
It's a tough, very tough situation.
Where are you in your life today?
I am doing a lot of volunteer work for AFSP. I'm the board secretary. I'm the LGBTQ+ outreach coordinator. I kind of wanted to focus in on my community because I saw that there was a lack of these resources within it. And so I kind of stepped up, and I make sure that we're at every event that we could be at. We're going to be at OutFest. My team is kind of an LGBTQ outreach team. I'm trying to fill in that gap in the community. We are disproportionately affected by it, so that's something I would like to change.
You mentioned coming out in a small town. What was that like for you?
That was hard. Small towns, it could be hard for a lot of diverse opinions, diverse attitudes. Any diversity in a small town is kind of tough. My mom even was afraid at first. I think she was more scared of how I would be treated by other people, especially coming out at 16.
Because it's not easy.
No.
Even today, it's not easy.
Right. I guess that was kind of another thing that led me to really want to move to the city because it's more accepting than where I was. I think that things are changing slowly, even at home.
You told me your passion for helping others is driven by your own past struggles and life experience.
Right. My main goal, I think, is to be the person that I didn't have growing up, kind of to be the role model, to be the person who's different, to be the gay kid that's living their life and succeeding. If there's just one person I help out of all of this, it's worth it for me because I really didn't have that kind of role model growing up.
Looking back on your experience, what could someone have done to help you? Is there anything that they could have done to help you?
That's a question I ask myself often, and I don't think so. I had my mom there, and we were extremely close. It was just kind of one of those things that just built up.
If someone's having these type of feelings or thoughts, what is your suggestion on what they should do?
I always suggest if you're experiencing any sort of crisis, no matter how small you think it may be, that you contact the crisis text line. I actually was able to volunteer with them for about 6 months. It's an excellent resource for anyone at any time. And the number for the crisis text line, you text 741-741. There are keywords you could text like help, hello, talk, and there will be a trained counselor there to assist you almost immediately.
And there's also a lifeline that you can call as well. That's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and that's 1-800-273-TALK. So either the crisis text line or the lifeline, both are helpful. Now, you guys have an event coming up that you're asking the public to come out and help with.
Yeah, this will be my third Out of the Darkness Community Walk. It's going to take place on October 7th. I will have my team there. We're going to have a really great event this year. I'm having therapy dogs show up. This is our main fundraising event, and we're looking at maybe having 8,000 attendees this year.
Where is the event?
It's at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. We meet on the plaza and then walk a mile and a half out, turn around, come right back to the art museum.
And it's on October 7th. What time does it start?
Registration begins at 6:30 a.m. and check-in. And the walk begins at 7:30.
You can get more information and sign up for the walk if you go to the website. It's afsp.org/Philly Walk. And what about people who want to help, but maybe they can't come to the walk? What's the best way they can help out?
I think the best thing to do would be to visit the website. It gives you some resources and other ways in which you could help, including being a virtual walker, where you don't necessarily have to be present the day of the event. You could still raise funds. You could be a part of a team. But of course, there are other options such as attending events, fundraisers, looking into our educational programs, and so on.
If you could give one bit of advice to the listeners today, what would it be? About anything. It could be about suicide or not.
I think my main bit of advice would be to not be afraid to have the difficult or hard conversations with your loved ones, your friends, or even your coworkers if you sense that they're struggling. I always tell people to kind of seize the awkward, to get into that moment, because you never know who may be struggling, and it could really help somebody if you reach out.
It could save a life.
Yes.
Tia, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to give out the helpline numbers one more time. The crisis text line, you can text TALK or HELLO to 741-741, or the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. And if you'd like to take part in the Out of the Darkness Walk, which is happening on October 7th, you can go to afsp.org/Philly Walk.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
My next guest donated an organ after seeing a Facebook post. Living kidney donor Linda Hughes started a donor chain in April of 2017 that resulted in 7 individuals across the country receiving life-saving transplants. She's here to tell us her story today. Linda, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me, Kathy.
So first off, are you from the Philadelphia area?
I am from Evesham in New Jersey, Burlington County, and have been here for over 20 years.
And is the person that you donated your kidney to also from Philadelphia?
She is not. When I donated to her, she was a stranger. All I knew was that it was a woman in her 40s and the surgery was taking place in Maryland. I found out later when I met her that she actually lives in Kentucky and had the surgery done at Walter Reed Medical Center.
Prior to the surgery, did you connect with the recipient?
I did not. I originally started testing for a young girl who did live in this area, who lived in Medford. She was 19 years old, needed a new kidney, and her mom made a Facebook post. So when her mom made that post, I started the process, went to University of Pennsylvania, and started testing to be her donor. I did not know her at the time, and I did not have any contact with the family while I was going through that testing process.
And this was for the 19-year-old?
Correct.
Let's just step back for a second. You just saw a random post that somebody needed a kidney, and had you been in the process or had you been looking into possibly donating a kidney, or did you just see this post and think, I want to donate?
A little of both. It was something that was in the back of my mind for a while. One of those things I always thought I might do, but had looked into it very little. Then I saw that post and I said, all right, I guess this is now. It's the time to do it. So it was something that I'd considered doing. I thought at some point in my life I might do it, but I never got that urge until I saw that Facebook post.
Wow. So you saw the Facebook post and you started to get tested for this girl. That didn't work out.
They basically said I was a good match, not a great match. They wanted to have a perfect match for her, so they put me on backup status. And they said, if we don't get a better match for her, it's going to be you. And fortunately, they found a perfect match for her through a donor chain. And she was able to get a kidney. And at that point, I had gone through all the testing. And I said, well, then let's start a chain. Instead of me being part of a chain for her, I'll start a new chain.
Meaning you were going to donate to someone else?
Yes.
And this chain led to 7 different donations?
Correct. They always have to be started by someone who doesn't know the first recipient. And then what happens is that first recipient, they have a friend or family member who's willing to donate to them, but they're not a good match. So they say, I'll donate to someone else in order for my loved one to get the kidney. So I come and donate to the first recipient. Their friend donates to someone else on their behalf, and it keeps going.
What is a perfect match?
Matches are done by both blood type and by tissue type. So there's all varying degrees of how close someone can be. Unfortunately, the longer someone has kidney disease and is going through different treatments, the more difficult it is to match for them because they've just built up different antibodies.
Tell me a little bit then about the preparation that you had to go through before donating your kidney.
Sure. I went through a lot of testing. The interesting thing about this whole process is that the team that I worked with did not have contact with the recipients. They are the donor team, and their main focus is to make sure that I am fit for surgery, mentally, physically, financially, everything. Their focus is making sure that the donor is okay. I went through just different blood tests, CAT scans, x-rays, visits with psychologist, financial planner to make sure, because you do miss work. They want to make sure that you're in a good place for that. So it's a dedicated team that makes sure that the donor is in a good place in their life. And now I have an entire workup, a great baseline of my health for everything that comes up in the future.
What was the psychiatric evaluation like? Was it extensive or just a quick visit?
Well, there's typically at least one visit with a social worker. Because I'm what's considered an altruistic kidney donor, meaning I don't know my recipient, they actually also had me see a psychologist just to make sure that I wasn't expecting too much of the process, that I understood that, you know, my life wasn't going to change because of this, which is something that I already knew. They just wanted to make sure that I was in a good place to do something good for someone else without expecting anything in return.
What was the surgery like for you?
Up until I donated the kidney, the only surgery I ever had was having my wisdom teeth removed.
Oh, my gosh.
So I didn't know what I was getting into, really.
A little different.
Little different. It's real surgery. It was about a 2-week surgery recovery where there was, you know, some pain, difficulty getting around. It hurts when you cough. It hurts when you sneeze. It hurts when you laugh, which I was not expecting. After that, it was really just gaining my strength back. So it was about 2 weeks of recovery and then 2 weeks of gaining my strength and my energy back.
When did you go back to work?
4 weeks after surgery.
Okay, that's not bad.
Not bad at all, considering that, you know, 7 people now have new lives and I just took a couple weeks out of mine. So yeah,
sure.
It worked out.
And what do you do for a living?
I work in communications for Bayada Home Healthcare. Sitting at a desk, anyone who does physical labor is having to stay out a little bit longer.
Once the surgery is over, I know the recipient has to be on medication for the rest of their life, correct?
They do.
What about you as a donor?
Nothing. The only change in my life is that now I take Tylenol instead of Advil. Basically, ibuprofen is not great for your kidneys. And the only guidance I was given was you only have one kidney left, so take care of it.
Take care of it. What about alcohol? Can you have a glass of wine?
Personally, I don't drink, but yeah, there's no issue with anyone who donates having alcohol as well.
What filters through your kidney? I know that might sound like a silly question.
Basically, all the toxins in your body. Anyone who doesn't have a functioning kidney, they need a different way to get those toxins out of their body, which is where dialysis comes in.
Have you been in contact with your recipient since she received your kidney?
I have. I met the woman who received my kidney about 6 months after our surgeries. She lives in Kentucky, but because her husband is an Army vet, her surgery was at Walter Reed Hospital. So when she came back to the East Coast for her 6-month follow-up, I was able to go down to D.C. and got to meet both of them.
How were you connected with her? Through the National Kidney Foundation?
Through the National Kidney Registry. So what happened was once the young woman in this area found a better match, I decided to start a donor chain. When that happens, you enter the National Kidney Registry and they run algorithms to figure out who the best matches are. This is a great situation for people who are difficult to match and they have the loved one who wants to donate to them and isn't a match. So they put me in the system. I have O positive blood, so they knew that once they did, it was going to go pretty quickly. They found a woman who was difficult to match for, put all the pieces together, ran all the testing. They had to do one last blood test on me just to make sure we were a good match. And then they scheduled the dates and they made the successive surgery dates for everyone involved in the chain.
But then how did you meet? How did you connect with that woman?
So I met her because I reached out through my transplant center. They work with Gift of Life, who coordinated the communication. So I wrote a letter to her. It went from my transplant center to Gift of Life. Gift of Life gave it to her transplant center, who gave it to her. And then she wrote back the same way. And in her letter, she had contact information, Facebook. So, of course, as soon as I got the letter, I went and found her on Facebook.
So I guess that's done to protect both the donor and the recipient in case one or the other wasn't interested in meeting the person.
Yes. And I've heard of people who haven't wanted to. The interesting thing is that because I'm coming in as the stranger in this situation, a lot of times people see the person who donated on their behalf as their donor. There's certain situations where people look at it as, I know my donor, even though their kidney didn't go inside of me, they're the person who donated for me. So there's sometimes people have that situation where they don't need to meet the person who actually donated the kidney that they have.
So typically, are donors meeting the recipient?
I know both situations. I'm kind of new to this world because I didn't have someone that I knew that had kidney disease. So it wasn't something that I was familiar with ahead of time. So as I'm kind of getting into this world, I've seen both situations. I've seen people reach out, and I have also heard of people who wanted to reach out to the people who donated to them and did not get a response.
So when you took off work, you were off for about a month. How did you get that time off? Was your company, did they know what you were doing? What type of leave did you take?
They did know what I was doing. And actually, I work for Bayada Home Healthcare. And at the time, Mark Bayada, who was our founder, was my acting director. So I went to Mark and let him know what I was doing. He basically said, well, we'll support you. Maybe we'll donate some time to you. I'll donate a date for you. And we looked at the company policy, and it was a little difficult at that time for people to do that. So he changed the company policy and made it so people were able to donate time to me. So my coworkers were definitely a huge support in giving me that extra time to recuperate.
So was that just for you, or now the policy is completely changed and employees can now donate their time off to other employees?
Now that's the company policy.
Wow, how cool.
Yes. Yeah, so the policy that had existed was there was a couple of barriers that we were able to eliminate. So it makes it easier for employees to donate to their coworkers. And Mark actually did donate his time to me as well.
Needless to say, you also work with the National Kidney Foundation, and a walk is coming up in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. So the National Kidney Foundation hosts walks throughout the country. There's, you know, more than 100 locations across the United States. The one in Philadelphia is on October 14th. Mark Bayada, that wonderful man who changed company policy to donate his time to me, is actually this year's corporate chair. He had the connection with me and also another friend of his who donated a kidney. So Mark is serving as corporate chair. We have the walk on October 14th. It happens at the Philadelphia Art Museum, and we're all looking forward to a great crowd coming out.
How can people sign up if they want to do the walk?
If they want to start a team, donate, anything having to do with the walk, they can go to kidneywalk.org.
What is Mark and Bayada's connection to the National Kidney Foundation?
Really, Mark's big connection to the Kidney Foundation was a living donors in his life. He knows me, and I worked with him when I donated. And then also a good friend of his donated a kidney to his sister to save her life. So knowing those people is really what brought Mark's attention to this cause.
What type of relationship do you have with the woman who received your kidney?
With the woman who received my kidney, we have a really good relationship. It's a little long distance, but we are Facebook friends. We get to talk whenever we can. She just went to her doctor yesterday and got her results. The doctor basically said to her, you've got a great kidney. So we are able to talk that way and see each other once so far.
Can females only donate to females and males to males, or does it
matter? No, it does not matter. Gender doesn't matter. The only thing that really matters is the blood and then the tissue types.
If you could give one bit of advice to the people listening today about anything, what would it be?
Oh, I would say that everyone can make a difference in someone's life. And I understand that not everyone can be a living kidney donor, but it's something that I like to talk about because I think not everyone realizes that they have the potential to do it. And when people hear my story, they are able to do something that makes a difference. Some people go and change their driver's license and become an organ donor. Some people look into the living donor process. So there's something that everyone can do to help someone else, whether it be a friend or a stranger.
And one way to help is to go out to this National Kidney Foundation walk in Philadelphia, which, again, give us the details. It's taking place on October 14th.
Yes, October 14th, Philadelphia Art Museum. Registration is going to start at 6:30, and then we'll kick off at 8:45 in the morning.
Linda, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like more information about the National Kidney Foundation or becoming a kidney donor, you can go to kidney.org. Or if you want to sign up for the walk and take part, go to kidneywalk.org. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.